for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, September the 3rd, 2010, Richard Tate is the speaker of the morning teaching on Learn of Me.
Well, good morning. Can you hear me? Because I can't hear. I got one ear plugged up and the other one doesn't work very good anyway. As I was laboring over this, and the people who know me know I labor, then he really started coming about a quarter after, and that's when it gets touchy because I haven't dressed yet, and I'm trying to get this stuff to work and trying to get to where I can print something out because my memory's not the best in town. And it's always that way with me. I had three themes before this camp started, and they just went away one at a time. I got to where I'm set. But he never lets me get set. Lots of times I don't know what I'm going to say when I start, like right now. You just kind of go with what God gives you. He showed me, and most of you know that know me, know that he showed me a long time ago that I was a pipe. Just an old rusty pipe. And that he wanted to flow through that pipe. And don't worry about it. It may come out kind of brown and for a while. But eventually he's going to clean the pipe out. And as you yield to him, speaking to me, it'll get better for them. You know, it'll get better for who I'm trying to speak to. Actually, you know, he speaks to me every time too. Sometimes in different ways. I'll be writing notes when somebody's speaking and may not have anything to do with what they're saying. He just brings these things and I write them and then later on I try to figure out what was all that about. Or I go back through my notes. I say, well, a simple way, I'll go back through some of my old messages from back in California. And I'll look at the notes and I'll say, what in the world was that all about? I thank God that He does that because I'm not really interested in old stuff. Now, what they were talking about here back when the Charismatic movement began, boy, that stuff never gets old. I mean, that stuff was real. It's eternal. It'll never change. The things that some of those brothers talked about will stand forever. And it's amazing because now we can't avail ourselves. In between, you were just kind of lost. It just wasn't there. You're talking about people and people looking, who was that? I got to pray, Lord Jesus, help me, Lord. Just give me the words. I thank you for Jane and the music because I was wondering what all this stuff was about. And I thank you, Lord, that you opened my eyes and caused me to see. Help me to communicate, Lord, not to be complicated, because you never were. We complicate things, you simplify them. So help me to be simple, Lord, because, you know, with my vast education, I only understand simple things myself. Thank you, Jesus. It was amazing to me as I was sitting there and listening to Jane sing about salvation and the blood. And I thought, my text scripture, to begin with, it's Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Everybody here knows it, probably by heart. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now, when he was giving me that, I was saying, this is not an evangelistic service we're having. You know, this is not what this is. But when she began to sing those songs, boy, I said, hallelujah, I'm with that. I'm going there. I'm not going to pull off and try to say, well, I want to go somewhere else. I'm going there. Just take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In verse 28, it talks about labor, struggling. And I'm sure that in this day that a lot of you and myself included are struggling, heavy laden, burdens heavy on us, whether it's economic insecurities, spiritual insecurities, not knowing what's going to happen next, looking at the future and saying it looks gloom, doom, and it does. Well, I keep telling myself, Richard, you just can't get, you know, to Revelation 22 without going through those first 21 chapters. If you ever want to get to the end of this thing, you got to go through them. I thought, you know, our pain is that we don't see the glory that's going to be revealed through the church. And I'm not talking just about the super dupers. I'm talking about just the average person that has Jesus living in them. Because He's going to come out. And we're in a great preparation time now to begin to let Him come out instead of keeping boxed in there and locked up to where He can't move. He wants to say something to the world. And there are people out there that want to hear what He has to say. But we're so intimidated by their natural appearance. We're so intimidated by the fact that we know them. I remember, and I shared this, I think, a long time ago, in a big church out in California, wonderful pastor, tremendous teacher. And he had a brother up there speaking for him, and they were sitting on a platform, and the service was going on, and the brother began to tell him different things about different people in the congregation, problems they had. I mean, spiritual stuff. And the pastor says, "Yeah, I know, but I know them too well. I can't tell them the truth as I should." Now, when he was away from his pastorate, he was on them. But there he couldn't. And I think God is saying, you know, it's time for us to put away this outward thing we're seeing and start to let Him loose. Let Him release Himself. You know, who's God? He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. You'll find rest in your souls." You know, when we first get saved, boy, I tell you, that's about the most restful place ever was in my life. I mean, I loved everybody. And I couldn't care what they said or what they thought. They were all happy for me that I'd found religion for about 20 minutes, you know, until I couldn't stop talking about Jesus, and they got a leafy about it. But, you know, I didn't care. The world could collapse. It didn't make any difference to me, you know. And then all at once, somehow, you know, I started picking up baggage, taking a hold of fears, and began to wonder, you know, what do these people really think? Instead of letting Him loose, I began to bottle Him up, you know, afraid that He might offend someone, I guess. Actually, afraid I might offend Him. I wasn't worried about what He was going to do. It was me. I was the problem. He says, "Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, Jesus, when He was here, you got to hear me. When He was here, He wasn't here by Himself. Remember at His baptism? Somebody came down. Somebody came down. He was not unyoked in His life here. He did what His Father told Him to do, said what His Father told Him to say, but He was yoked with the Holy Spirit because He was always led by the Spirit. And that's what He's trying to get us, to get in that harness with the Holy Spirit. To get in there and let Him teach us. You know, we're going to kick and buck some, but we've got to stay in the harness. We've got to stay in that yoke and let him begin to show us how it really works, not how we think it works or how we're afraid it might work. Or, you know, we get in a place sometimes where we're afraid. You know, we're in deeper life. We get to the point where we're scared what God may do to us. Just to make us more holy. You know, we get that fear thing. "Oh, God, I want to go deeper with you, but man, you're going to kill me. You know, I don't want to go through what I know you're going to put me through." And somehow, we get this idea without even realizing that God's mad at us. But He's not smiling and wanting to wrap His arms around us and love us as He brings us through these things. As it isn't out of love that He's bringing us through these things. But somehow there's something else there, and we take this guilt upon ourselves and we walk around with our heads down. The problem is, as Bob Mumford used to say, you know, you're going around that mountain and around the mountain, and pretty quick you're looking up to see the ground. You've dug your trench. Because He says, it's time to move on. But He said, you can only move on if you're going to be obedient. There's a scripture in the New Testament that terrified me for years. Still bothers me some. That's where Paul said, you know, and I think in the in the Amplified, maybe I could look it up. He said, if after having preached to others, I might be found, in the Amplified says, to be a counterfeit. And I thought, wow, evangelized the whole world. Everybody got saved. In the end, I went down the tubes. I wasn't the real deal. And I thought, how could he say that? You know, how could he say that? He was saved. He was spirit-filled. He was all this stuff. And then I remembered what Jesus said about those that had done all those mighty works in His name. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Ye workers of iniquity. And I looked that up, and the word in the Greek, just if you want to give it one word, this is lawlessness. You know, it's like He's saying, you did all this stuff for me, but you never came under me. I never ruled you. I spoke about this a few weeks ago. I never was able to rule you. You were working for me, but I wasn't in charge. He's saying, I want to make you and take you to a place where I can be in charge because you want me to be in charge. He says, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And those are two things you've got to have. And in the beginning, we have that. We're not looking to be anybody usually, you know. And we're pretty lowly because we're just glad we got out of what we got out of. And we know we're not anybody. We haven't gotten an education, you know, to where we figure we're some kind of a Christian. But those are two things that he had, and he never got rid of. Somehow, we seem to advance beyond that. We begin to lose that meekness. We're not seeing ourselves. Maybe we get competitive, or you know, we want to be like everybody else because everybody else is spiritual. Seems like everybody is. But we seem to lose that. He said, My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, I'm not going to make it complicated for you. And I'm not going to beat you up. I'm not going to ask you to run. My favorite non-scripture is Jesus never ran. He walked. He was led, He was never driven. We're driven lots of times. But it's not by Him. I don't drive, I lead. And you've got to follow. If you don't follow, I'm going to go on. You're going to be stuck back there with all those enemies because you're no longer being under the cloud, no longer being under the fire. You no longer have protection. It says, His burden is light. He's trying to change the people today because He has great purpose in mind for you. I shared this before, and it's just a thing the Lord dealt with me lately, and it's just really, really done something to me. I always thought about His plan for me. God's plan for me. Oh, hallelujah. And I heard a lot of teaching about it. I was into that. And then one morning I was, like I say, praying, minding my own business. And He spoke to me and He says, I have a plan for you. And I thought, come on, I've had years and years of that. Says, no, I have a plan and you're in it. What a revelation that was to me. That He had a plan for the whole world, for all of time, and I'm in that plan. Man, did that relieve some pressure off my shoulders. Because I'm always trying to figure out, am I in a plan? Am I figuring out it? He's got this little thing for me to go zip, 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 and am I doing it right? That just took it off me. You know, that's why I can say, hey, He's got a plan. I'm in the plan. Like it or not. When I'm happy, I'm in it. When I'm unhappy, I'm still in it. But He's got a plan. I'm in it. So I can relax. And quit trying to do it. Quit trying to make it happen. Quit trying to figure it out. You know, I'm always trying to figure two steps ahead of God so I don't trip. And by looking that far ahead, I always trip over my own feet. He'll never give us any more than we can easily carry. And what if we can't carry easily, you know, we need to give to Him. You know, we need to give it to Him. He wants to take it. He's got burdens He wants to give us. But they're not ours, they're His. He wants us to give Him our burdens so He can give us His burden. How many even know when the Holy Spirit prays, things happen? He's the only one who gets His prayers answered. All the time. Every time. When He prays, it happens. He said, well, I'd like to get some done through you. Let me pray through you. You don't got to evangelize the world. Just let me. You know, there's no time, there's no distance, and there's no age in the Spirit. Oh, I used to get offended. When I was young then. It still offended me. how preachers should talk about this generation is going to do. I said, you know something? We've got people out here who can do more on their knees. And all these people together running around grabbing people and trying to get them saved. I said, listen, when it happens on your knees and it happens, it's going to happen out there. I don't care if nobody goes. It's going to happen. Because that's where everything happens. There's not a person in here who got saved that somebody didn't pray for. You may know who it was. You may not know who it was. But somebody prayed you through. Believe me, it doesn't happen without prayer. Jesus prayed, and then He gives it to people to pray also. So we got to sit back and look and figure out where we are. Sometimes we need to get back to the beginning. I tell you, sometimes I think I get saved every day. I said, you can't go wrong there, because I said, we'll start out fresh right here. Maybe you're in a bad situation now and you made some mistakes. You know, you can't go back and undo them. You can't get around them. You got to reap what you sow. Lots of times that's not a good thing to think about, but you can't get away. It's there. But you can say, you know, Lord, here I am. This is me now, today. Let's start it out today. Let's start all over today, fresh. I'm here. Do with me what you will from here on. Instead of getting caught in this thing where we're trying to write something or straighten out something that we can't. That's beyond us. God is wanting to really bring some super changes, because He's got a work that He's going to do. And you don't have to have any degrees. You can have them, it doesn't really make any difference to Him. You know? What He needs is, He showed me, He said, all I need is some pipe. I don't need new ones. Any old pipe will do. As long as it's got a hole in it that I can start going through, and it'll allow me to start pouring through. I will clean it out in time, whether the pipe likes it or not. But it's wonderful, because He's the one doing it. We're not doing it on His behalf. I hope. I was so blessed by Speed last night. I thought, man, how can you get 31 years of service in 2 hours? I said, that was just unbelievable that you could, that much information in that short a period of time was really good to me, because my father was in World War II. He was at the South China Patrol in China in the 30s. And he used to tell us a lot of stories about, he was in the Navy, an aircraft carrier. And tell us about things that had happened, you know, some things, good things. And so it took me back a long ways to when he used to talk about these things when he was home. And I thought, man, you know, these men went through something. A lot of somethings. We don't want to go through nothing. I mean, literally, give me my crown. And my sword. And my rod. You know, let me go get somebody. But we don't want to pay any price. Like Tom said one time, well, a lot of times, the Lord spoke to him and said, you have to be ender before you can be over. And that's true. See, we want to be over. We're not interested in being under. We're not interested in being under authority. Listen, when you come under authority, you may not agree with the authority. God put you there. Listen, you may do things you would never have done. I was in a church one time, a long time, and the Lord told me, He says, you can't put anything in the offering. And I said, what do you mean? Nothing. I said, how about a buck? You know, just something. He said, no. He says, if you put something in there, that means you agree with what they're doing with the money. I said, well, I don't agree, because it was kind of a savings and loan with no savings. And it was a loanie where nobody ever paid it back. The church was always struggling because the money was always going. Here, a lot of relatives. And the money was always going and never come back. People had vans. They were all doing fine. The church was broke. So for 3 years, I never put a dime in there. And the guy that took the offering, he couldn't stand me anyway. And he used to come down that thing and stick it right in front of me. I'll tell you one thing. He never stuck it in front of Mara's face. You don't know her. He never stuck it, but he stuck it in front of me. I just look at him. You know? And then after 3 years, the Lord had the nerve. The nerve to tell me, now I want you to take papers with these people. I don't even agree with them. I want you to take papers. He says, these people will not listen to anything that doesn't come from the pulpit. And I want a voice in this church. So I did. And the first thing that happened, the president of the organization came when I told him. The president of the organization came. He says, you know, you got to pay tithes. The first thing, not how are you, thank you to you coming in, because he knew, everybody in the whole denomination knew that Richard Tate didn't give nothing. I said, no problem. He almost fell off his chair. I said, no problem. See, because that was their rule. Now, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, it's not the point. But that was how they did things. And so he wanted me to say, you got to pay tithe. That was never a problem. Because, see, God had brought me here. Now, I'm under this authority now, even if I may not agree with it. But I placed myself under there by the leading of God. Now, I'm not into people going and placing yourself there without God, because you're going to be in a world of trouble. World of trouble. And your family, too. But from then on, I could do all the rules they had. It wasn't a problem to me at all. Whether I agree with them or not, didn't make any difference. Because I placed myself and God under this authority. I said, I don't want to be a rebel. And I found out, you know, you can be a rebel horizontally. You can be a rebel vertically. You can be a rebel both ways. But he's really saying, you know, I want you to be a break the rebellion with me. We do a thing with God that's amazing. We're kind of like the movie The Great Escape. You know, we surrendered, but we spent the rest of our life trying to get out. I had a friend of mine used to say that. What did the Lord say? He said, you need to surrender all. And the Lord said, you just need to surrender once and for all. You know, forget this surrendering parts. Just surrender. Just say, the war is over. We're no longer at war. Because I find that as things go on and things get tough, we end up having conflicts with God. Now, we may not like to admit that. One of the books we're reading was, I think, Philip Morris talked about, have you ever forgiven God? I said, what? Blasphemy. He said, no. He said, don't tell me. Nothing's ever happened, and deep down inside, you haven't blamed God for it. Well, yeah, sure. A million things. So you need to forgive God. And then you can ask for forgiveness for you for blaming God in the first place. But you need to do this. You need to straighten this thing out. He just doesn't want us to have anything between Him and us. He wants a clear feeling. So He can speak clearly to us, we can hear good, and we can respond. He doesn't want a lot of stuff, a lot of interference keeping us from really hearing. Or we hear it, but we don't hear it right because there's interference. You're getting little pieces. And the problem with us, you know, is we'll move with little pieces just like they were the real whole thing. We have a real bad tendency to get a piece of something and go with it like it's the whole 9 yards. And it just doesn't work that way. When we do, we end up out there somewhere and then somebody has to come along and try to take care of us. Try to get us back. Spend their time with us. Now, you've come here. Some of you probably come here maybe to check it out. We used to do a lot of that. I always said, I want to hear somebody. Not only want to hear them, I want to see them. I want to feel their spirit. That's what I want to do. Tapes are fine. But I want to do this. I can tell where I'm at, where they're at, how I feel. And we used to go hear a lot of people. All the names that were mentioned earlier, we take us back a ways, but we used to go all the time. Because I enjoyed teaching, I enjoyed hearing, you know. And most of these brothers spoke to your heart. They weren't just giving you information that, you know, you might, you know, you're going to grow and you're going to do this and do that. They were telling you, this is what you got to do. There's no easy way in this place. God is trying to pull people right now because He's got a great work to do. And He doesn't want us to disqualify ourselves. There's a storm coming. I don't know how many of you are familiar with any vision, but there's a storm coming. I think it's here. Anyway, and there's going to be two types of people in the storm. It's two types of believers. There's going to be the kind of people that are above the storm. And there's going to be a group of people below the storm, under the storm. Now, the difference is that during the time of preparation, the people that become above the storm, they solidified it with Him. They were obedient. Nothing else mattered. Was their obedience to Him. Because of that, He brought it, was able to bring them up, and their communication never broke. The ones below the storm were not willing to pay the price, and because of that, they were under the storm, and they didn't have direct communication anymore. But they got their communication through those that were above the storm. But you said it's much better to be above the storm than below. It's much better to be up here where your communication isn't broken. And if one thing God's trying to do right now, it's establish this communication. He said, I want you to know me. You know, I'm just going to say this because I'm just going to say it, you know. I had a conflict with a lady about probably 40 years ago. In fact, every time I got to meet him, I had a conflict. I mean, we just conflicted anyway. And she was sitting at our table. She really liked Mar. She wanted Mar in her prayer group. She wanted my wife to do this and then. And Mar said, I have a covering here. I'm not moving out. If my covering says it's all right, I said, no, it's not all right. Bunch of silly women. They had no covering. There was no men. There was no nothing. And in time, they got in real trouble with their church because they were doing stuff and saying the church okayed it. The pastor okayed it, which he hadn't. And they were trying to deliver people and do a lot of stuff. And because they weren't properly connected, it really had some bad stuff. And then we'd get people coming to our house to try to straighten it out. And she was telling me, she said, we were talking about God and His Word. She said, I know God by His Word. I said, that's fine. I said, I know His Word by Him. I said, that's where I stand. I said, when I got saved, wasn't no Bible verse. I said, God spoke to me. And as He told me to follow Him, and I do. And that's where I'm at. I said, and I know His voice. And that doesn't mean I'm some kind of super duper. I just know His voice. And I said, that's who I'm following. And I had a friend one time say, well, what are you going to do when you hear something there that you don't agree with the Bible? I said, well, so far I hadn't heard anything. But I said, if I ever have to do it, if it ever happens, then I'll have to decide whether I go with the voice or go with the Bible. I said, but so far, they've been in perfect agreement. Abraham didn't have a New Testament or an Old Testament, but he knew God. You know, we don't have a guarantee, you know, that we can memorize it all, but we're going to be able to keep it all with us in times coming for us. We just don't have a guarantee. Man, he's saying, I want you to know me. I really want you to know me. I want you to open up and say, hey, I want to know you. I don't care what it costs. Cost is not important. Knowing you is important. Knowing you. Now, Jesus saved us, died on the cross to bring us back to a relationship with God. Is that right? Is that correct? Okay. Jesus wasn't bringing us to Himself. He was bringing us to the Father. Okay. God says He was in Christ Jesus, bringing back the world to Himself. Anyway. But then, now, God's up there, right? Or wherever. Okay, on His throne. And Jesus is right next to Him. And here we are. But they sent the Holy Spirit to us to be with us. Give Him all these things He's going to do with us. He's going to teach us, going to guide us, going to be our lawyer, going to do all this stuff for us, with us. He's going to sanctify, He's going to change us, He's going to work with us, He's going to do all these things. And I find that most of us don't have a clue who He is. Oh, it's when I speak in tongues. Nonsense. He's a person. He's not an it. He's not a maybe. He's not a something. He's the third person of the Godhead. He's God. But He's what we have now. I mean, He came here to be with us. And sometimes I think we're trying to be led and we don't know what we're trying to be led by. You know, we're hoping things are going to work out. But He said, I'm here. I'm here. I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. I want to teach you. You won't be flustered or bothered by anybody. Because what I'm going to put in you is eternal. And it will never change. And no matter what they say, something as smooth as it can get. And we know, folks, today, there's some smooth stuff out there. I thought, you know, 40 years ago there was some stuff. I mean, there was a lot of, this camp was going here and this group was going there. And there was a lot of that stuff. But now it's, my goodness, it's mainstream. You know, it's just so smooth. So syrupy. So everybody's in. We were talking about that this morning at breakfast a little bit. There's these messages that just, they take one part and they just don't give you the whole picture. And it takes you to a place where you could be really in danger. When push gets to shove and this thing doesn't float, you know, you're going down. The Holy Spirit said, I want to keep you on an even keel. I want you to walk with me. I want to teach you. I want you to be in communion with me. One of the greatest books I ever read was that Reese Howell Intercessor. I don't know how many of you ever read it. Man, oh man, that would let me up. It got me in some trouble because I had such a hunger that I was wide open to all kinds of deception, you know, because I just had this hunger to be this intercessor. And I had some battles. But I thought, that man knew God. And he walked with the Holy Spirit. I said, do you really have that available for us today? How come I don't know anybody that's doing it? How about you? Well, how about letting me meet somebody so I can see how they're doing? You know, he doesn't let you get away with that stuff. He just comes back, how about you? Not your brother. Not the pastor. How about you? I don't need a Pastor Cho. Young Cho has a Korean church. We were in a meeting, and he was there, and he gave his testimony, which was just something. Talking about how why God chose it. Why did you choose me? He says, the Lord says, because you're a dummy. Dummy. He said, yeah, you don't think. You don't compute. You don't think. When I say something, you do it. I mean, here's a guy got the biggest church in the world. That's what he said. He chose because I'm a dummy. But he was being truthful. He was saying that's why he chose me. If I thought I was something or could do something, he probably never would have chosen me because I'd be out there doing it on my own. I'd be out there doing it for him. But he chose me because he didn't have to worry about those problems because I wasn't smart enough to get out there and do it on my own. And I think, so we don't have to worry about not being smart enough. He said sometimes that stuff can be your worst enemy. He said, I'm just looking for somebody that's willing, somebody that's open. Somebody will say, I'll go when you tell me to go. Not when somebody else tells me to go. When you tell me to go, I'll do what you tell me to do. It's funny how he says, go over here, and we've already got it all figured out what we're going to have to say and how they're not going to like it. And oh, man. And he hasn't told us what to say yet. And Tom and Diane share lots about encounters they have with people. It really blesses me, you know. Just in Walmart, just something happens, and talk to somebody, and God just opens doors. I'm so scared I'm going to open the door and they're going to slam me in the face. I said, well, I better be careful. Better be careful. But I'm getting better. I am, you know, because there's nothing free except salvation. Once you get to that door, well, that was a lie, huh? Oh, it's a great, wonderful life. You'll never have any more problems. When you get baptized, you're going to come up a different person. That lasts about 10 minutes. You know, different. I said, slammed the door on my finger. I found out I was not a different person. Same old stuff come rattling out. But he is a God of change. And sometimes, you know, it's glory to glory. But sometimes, as Joseph Garlington said, sometimes it's a long time between glories. It isn't glory to glory. It's glory to glory. And he made another statement, which is, you have to hear me. He says, and in between those two doors, you know, he says sometimes it's hell in the hallway because there ain't no light in there. When you're between glory to glory, there's no light. You're just walking. You don't know what's happening. You don't know why it's happening. You don't know if you're going to get through it. You get to the point where the enemy will tell you, well, are you sure God put you in here? Maybe you're in deception. Maybe it really wasn't God. That's when it pays to know the voice of God. Remember Elijah? All that stuff happened and he heard that still small voice. God was in that voice. We need to know that still small voice. It takes times of waiting. And I don't mean grueling. It just takes time of waiting. Sometimes you just got to wait. Just wait. You got to know He cares about you. More deeply than you can ever imagine. He's bound and determined. The Holy Spirit's more bound and determined to get you where He wants you than you are to go. Because He's got a work He wants to do through you. And He's going to do it. We're going to have some casualties. But it's not going to be because of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be because we chose not to go. Or we said, I'll go so far. The outer court's fine with me. I just want a little spot in heaven. You know? I learned real early that if you're on the outskirts of heaven, you're on the outskirts of hell. I kind of got that thing, you know. If you're out here too far, man, that's real close to that outer darkness. I said, I might slip and might interrupt. No, 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 thank you. I'd like to get a little closer. I'd like to be at least one of the first three disciples on each side. I don't want to be out there where Judas was at on the end. Because if you are hearing anything, you're not getting it right. You know, what you're hearing is kind of muffled, and Judas had problems anyway, and worse than that, he ran with what he had. So I don't want to be out there, huh? I'm not sure I can handle right next door, but I want to at least be in the first two or three where I'm hearing what he's saying. He said, that's all right. Be truthful with me. Be honest. I'll share something I've shared many times here, and I'm going to share it because quite a few of you here are new. There was a time when I told God, I don't love you. No, Jesus. Jesus. Huh? I said, I don't love you. I said, I'm grateful and I think I like you. But I'm really grateful. I ain't going to hell. I mean, I'm really grateful about that. And I said that and I was like, ready for the crunch. You know, I'm ready for the hammer's going to get me. You know, he says, that's fine. Now that we know where we stand, we can start right here and we can build. But as long as you are lying to me, you are loving me and you're not loving me, how can we build something on that? It's on a lie. Now we know where we're at. We can build on there. He said, at one time, he said, I never called my disciples friends in the beginning. Huh? It was a while. He said, so don't worry. He said, I'm just interested in you being truthful and being honest with me. I can deal with that. I just can't deal with lies and deception. And I thought, man, where did I get all this teaching about? Where did I learn about hiding out? And, you know, and you got to, I remember back in the 50s, you got to do it on your own. That's how you do it. Hold the fort and do it on your own. I thought, what? You know, how did that work? I mean, right from the pulpit, I never heard anything about, you know, him and you and doing the work and sanctification. You just never heard of those things at all. It wasn't there. Do we really know him, or do we really know him as we ought to? Are we willing to let him really get inside? Willing to let him really not deal with us, commune with us? I never have him. He never comes down on me with a hammer. Well, I may get it later. I mean, eventually there's going to be something in there. But I mean, he never comes up and bang. He always comes up and kind of holds on to me. Lets me know that he loves me. I shared it about my name. I never could figure out why I called Richard, because nobody in my family tree ever had that name. And so in my rebellion, I changed it to Rick. My dad called me Dick. I changed it to Rick and went through a whole lot of stuff. And after I got back with the Lord, one of the first things he told me, he said, I named you Richard. Okay, well, that settled that for me. I just always wonder, why did I get this name? Nobody called me that. Nobody ever called me Richard. I said, well, good. And so I had to go to work, tell everybody my name has changed. That made them all happy. You know what I mean? You just see that rebellion? You do something in obedience to God, and the whole world goes nuts. I mean, what has it got to do with them? It's my name, but I'm going to change my name tag. Oh, they didn't like that at all. Well, who are you? You think you're somebody now? You're some Christian guy? Yeah. I don't know. My name's Richard. And I'm not answering to Rick no more, so help yourself. And eventually, you know, everybody got in with the program. Even my family, except my mother and my sister. You know, my sister to this day won't call me anything but Rick. I said, all right. My brother, it's amazing. Him and I have no agreements on anything. He believes he's looking for peace here. Peace inside, so he don't feel guilty. I said, I'm looking for peace with God. That's where I want my peace. But when I told him about my name, he changed like in a minute. This was no problem to him. My sister, she's like, and my mother, I'm going to die before I'll come. Okay. Even though you named me, you're still not going to call me the name you named me. You just have to go with it. You know, and try not to be a point of aggravation. Try not to be, you know, in their face. If it happens to you, it happens. Be a person that will respond instead of reacting. Ephesians 4:30 says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, he has feelings. It can be hurt. It can be devastated, believe me. It can really be hurt. And we're the ones that can really hurt him. The world can't hurt him. He's here to convict them, bring judgment, do all these things. But we're the ones that do the hurting, because we become insensitive. We don't want to listen. We want to pull our own way. When all He's trying to do is what is God's very best for us. I mean, that's all He has in His heart, is the best for us. And yet we sit there and we cringe and hurt, and I'm not doing this, and you can't make me, and I'm going to do it my way. And he just hurts. Because he sees we're doing this to our own hurt. He's going to be the same. It's us. You know, a brother once told me, nobody goes to hell by chance. Everybody goes to hell by choice. We make choices. And those choices decide where we're going to be. Where we're going to end up. But there's a way to make sure. I'm going to shut this down. There's a way to make sure. And there's a scripture that I'm going to read in the Amplified, but I really like it in Phillips' translation for Modern Men. It's in Colossians 3, and it's verse 15. If I was to pick one scripture in the whole Word of God to live by that would keep me safe, keep me comfortable, keep me in a place I'd be right, and I'd always be right with God, this would be my scripture. It says this in the Amplified. It says, "And let the peace, which is soul harmony, which comes from the Christ, rule and act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you are also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always." Philip says, let the peace of God rule as the umpire in every decision you make. And I think if I could get in that place and stay there, I'd be a happy camper. You know, because no longer am I trying to be the ruler. No longer am I letting anyone else try to be the ruler. I'm letting Him be the ruler. And if my peace flees, no matter what's happening around me, if I get agitated, what Patty was saying this morning, I'm not going to let nothing take my peace. Not going to take my peace. Because when it does, we've moved out. We're no longer what? It's the kingdom of God. What? Righteousness? Oh, peace. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And oh, again, the Holy Ghost. See, because once we've done that, we've moved out of the kingdom. Now we're in the other kingdom. We don't have a chance over there. We don't have a chance. We're done. Nobody ever did good at that tree. Nobody. When you get over there and start listening to that stuff, you can't win. But here, just, and that's not easy. It's a moment by moment, minute by minute, second by second life. But it's the life He's looking for, because He said, what I want is to bring into conformity to where this walking with Me is no longer a thing you're trying to do, but it is natural to you. And you have to learn. Hebrews 5 says something about, let me see what the Amplified says there. And I'm going to close with the scripture. Hebrews 5:14, I'll just read it here and see what it says. But solid food is for full-grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil, and contrary to either to divine or human law. Those that are full grown have learned by trial and error, by experience, to know the difference between good and evil. Isaiah chapter 1 says, if you would cease to do evil, learn to do good. We're so continuous about trying to learn to do good without ceasing to do evil. We're still doing this stuff. We're trying to get this stuff without giving this stuff up. You know, I found that was the hardest thing in the world. Wasn't doing good. It stopped doing evil. Stopped being short with my wife. Even though in her condition, I justify a lot of time. Well, goodness gracious, she's out to lunch. You know, but I know, you know, it's wrong. It's wrong. I'm not loving her. Jesus wouldn't say that to her. And I have to go repent. I do a lot of confessing and repenting. Because in the times that we're in, you're going to have some hard stuff. I mean, I know because I'm in some hard stuff. And I'm saying because there's anything special about me. But I mean, everyone's going to have some hard stuff. Because He's breaking some big stones in your heart. He's going to break some big rocks. He's going to have that stuff down to where it's powder. You know, you don't make bread out of kernels of wheat. You got to crush it. First, you got to get all the chaff out, but then you got to crush that stuff. You got to be mealed to where it's just like powder. You know, it's amazing. That's how we are, all together. And He's going to make it to where you can't tell where one starts and the other ends. It's going to be one loaf of bread. A brother had this vision one time of that. It was an old man on this thing, on this big old thing of dough. And he was picking crawling all over it. Real old ancient man. Picking all this stuff out. So I said, what is all that about? He says, he's just picking out all the imperfections. He says, and then the Lord opened his eyes and he saw this line of people that was never ending. He says, because there's a whole line of people waiting for this bread. And you're the bread. And they're waiting. But they're not going to have one with all that stuff in it. And the problem is, you know, if we keep that stuff in it, He's going to have to move us over. That doesn't mean get rid of us, but He's going to use someone else. Someone else to do what He had for me. And then when I get to that day, I may not know who got what, but I know what I lost. I'll know what I lost. I'll know what He had offered me, and I had refused by choice because I didn't want to pay the price, although it was a lot of excuses I give why I couldn't do it. Can't is not in the Bible. It's not a biblical word. Yes and amen are biblical words. That's what we need to say to Him. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Lord, I just hope something got somewhere. I thank You, Lord, that we're able to come together. And I thank You for this place and what You're doing, Father. I thank You that You brought my wife and myself here. You know, I really am. It's been such a blessing and to meet these people and to know some of them. Jesus, it's been such a blessing to us to be with people who care for You because they care for You. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Lord, be with us at lunch. We ask You to bless the food, Lord. We'll be here for anyone who needs prayer. Thank You for being You, Jesus. In Your name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.